Call to order the second monthly meeting for the Port of Port Townsend on Wednesday, September the 23rd. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I should have opened this up before the recording started.
Well, that one doesn't record very well. Our big one, is our big one still dead? Our big.
No, this one works very well.
Does it?
It's dark.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
It records everything.
Uh-oh, even soda pop. So tonight Pete's going to be a little bit late. We have reports that he's just landed on the ground at the airport and on his way out here. So I guess with two of us, we can approve the meeting minutes, correct? Yeah. So does anyone have any additions to the agenda? Okay.
Well, it should be noted that there's a revised agenda. We moved the budget down under first reading, so second reading.
Right, yeah, that was the agenda that everyone has?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone has the agenda that shows the second reading of the 2016 budget X'd out, and it's now under the first reading presentation of the draft 2016 operating budget. So I move that we approve that agenda.
I second it.
All in favor? Aye. The consent agenda, I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I second it.
All in favor? Aye. Okay. Public comments not related to the agenda. Bill?
Could someone, just for my edification, give a status update on where the advisory committee, what is our most recent meeting and when it's next meeting is scheduled and how that's constituted these days? Does anybody know that offhand?
Well, Eric's not here.
He would be the guy. Why don't we give you a call?
Okay, thank you.
We just met with David Goldsmith trying to set up more dates and everything.
I just haven't heard about that.
Any other public comments? George?
Yeah, I sent you folks, I hope you got an email about a couple hours ago.
Not yet.
What?
Not yet. I haven't given it to the commissioners yet.
I sent it to each one of the commissioners.
Oh, you did?
I wasn't able to open it up, for my iPad wasn't responding, so I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I used the email that was on the port website.
I could see it, I could see the attachments. I kept trying to open them up, but it wouldn't open them up for some reason. So I forwarded it to Sue and
okay.
Hopefully.
Well, what I referenced there was back in November 29, 2002, I think it was,
Four.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, things are going past me now. Which was the resolution regarding the fund, special fund that was set up to be separate, but mentioned in the port's accounts. And two things with it. It identifies the uses that the money is supposed to be for. And I want you to notice on that there's no specific project that is identified that should be funded. And that the engineering permitting, which this money goes for, and renovating, is for all of the Port Townsend boat havens. It doesn't stipulate marina, it doesn't stipulate the yards, but it's for the whole enchilada. And I think as commissioners, you should really read that, because otherwise, folks from the audience have their specific agendas with those funds. That's your job as an elected official, is to determine what projects go forward and which ones do not.
We'll put a copy for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it open up, but I can't say I always do. Okay, thank you, George. Any other public comments? not related to the agenda? Okay, then we'll move into the first reading presentation of the 2016 draft operating budget.
And we've already talked about this quite a few times, but we just felt, you know, since second reading is an action item, we're not ready to adopt the budget. This is the first cut of it, so that's why we moved it. Same as when you gave. Save one for PC, just roll that.
That's gonna say, what do you got?
I have one. It's gonna be on the website tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one for Peter.
You don't want that one?
I'll eat mine. No, we've got one.
Okay. Oh, sorry. So the budget is set up just like last year's budget. Also, you know, the monthly reports you're used to looking at, so the first 5 pages is your consolidated. It has the location or departmental revenues separated and then consolidated expenses together. And then the pages after that have them by department or location. The different assumptions are listed on the first page. And again, this is stuff that we've already, most of it we've already discussed, like the increased revenues with the CPI, the 2%. And the ramp revenues, which we actually did a rate increase. It's the only rate increase we have here. And then the pay that we discussed previously as far as employees. Everybody's getting a CPI January 1 anyway. And then what we also implemented was the third of the salary survey that we had discussed in prior meetings. Also, we separated out the maintenance, salaries, wages, taxes, and benefits by department. This is not a perfect presentation. Basically, I was able to take the first 6 months of this year and looked at maintenance staff salaries. I annualized it, and then I did percentages by department. So it's an evolving process. So as we go on, you know, year to year, we'll get more information, but it's always going to vary somewhat anyway. But I thought it was more transparent than having it lumped together with the department salaries and wages and benefits. You know, it doesn't really give a clear picture of, you know, these are your, you know, salaries.
It gives us a good feel for, you know, where does maintenance spend their life on a day-to-day basis kind of thing. And some of it is seasonal too, which would be expected. You know, like Laura's out at the airport, you know, a lot in April, May, June, July, with grass cutting.
And by the same token, a lot of maintenance sometimes will go to capital. And so in that case, what I've done here is I've put it, and that annualized was about 11% for this year. So for this budget here, that's lumped into the maintenance budget. Because maintenance also has their own budget where they're just doing maintenance stuff that's not related to a specific location. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that'll change and shift when you have capital work that they're doing. Let's see. Also, as we talked about before, the PERS retirement went up about 2%. So that's part of the benefits package for everybody. Environmental. What we did with environmental was we allocated, we figured most of their stuff is going to be in the yard. So 60%, we did like an A&G allocation for them. So we looked at their budget and then took 60% and put it to the yard, 10% to Point Hudson, and 10% to Bodega. And then figured about 20% is just administrative work that environmental does, which also includes the safety committee work that he does, putting that all together. So again, this is something that's new, so, you know, it could be adjusted as we go along. We'll see how, you know, that works, but I think it's a good way to see, to kind of map where he's spending his time in his assistant. Also included is the RCO grant money for the breakwater project, which is
boat ramp.
Boat ramp, sorry.
They both be included.
Oh, yeah, boat race. Okay. And yeah, I said that one. And then as you're looking at some of the line items, I think I'm gonna cross my head, maybe the monthly guest on mortgage looks a little high, but I mean we looked at the it's higher than 2014, for instance, and it's higher than 2015, but year to date we're high. And so I just made adjustments to the 2016 budget based on that.
Because we need more mortgages than we had anticipated we would, right?
Right. So there's some of those here and there.
So is this time to open discussion for it and ask questions?
Sure.
And, okay. So I was wondering, did all the department managers have input on what's in here?
We asked each one multiple times to get anything they felt they needed to get to us to be included.
Okay.
At least four times I personally asked each one of them.
Yeah, I talked about it at the staff meetings that I was working on the budget.
So did you get in? Did you get the input that you were after?
I didn't get any. No.
Uh oh. Did you get any?
I'm kind of feeling like maybe it's a learning process. Maybe I need to just say not what you want, but come on in and let's talk.
I think that's you know? What you're going to have to do because previous years we've gotten not a lot. Maybe just schedule a time. We still got
they
time
do get
to
the monthlies too, just like you do. So they're looking at the activity. So they have an idea, you know, what they're spending their money
on. So in other words, they've been asked, but they really haven't participated then. Well,
I think we're gonna have to force them.
That would be good.
If that's the appropriate word.
I think that would be good and have you know, just have an opportunity and maybe even have some at least previous you know, documentation that they can expand on and go from there.
Sure.
Well, especially if they feel they need equipment, you know, new pickup trucks or something like that, you know, they're the ones that need to tell us.
Fair, Terry has provided a lot of information for us on what it costs for hauling up and for those boats, locking charges.
Yes, that's
true. So, he's the only one, but Terry has, so he could throw everybody into the bus.
Oh, well, I'll
just
keep
that last. Yeah. So, we got some time, right? I mean, there's going to be opportunity for that to happen for this budget,
I
right?
I think so, sure.
Good.
Yeah, that we should emphasize, it does say draft up here. Probably you want to put a big watermark draft across, this really is just the first blush of numbers. You know, with the guidance that the Commission gave us, such as you know, the CPI and the 1% tax, et cetera, and the boat ramp change. We're going to come back, such as with the haul out rates. Now that we've done the studies for the heavy and the smaller one, we're losing money on both of them. And, you know, just each haul out, when you really capture all the associated costs. And so that's something that we need to discuss.
You're talking about the boatyard activity aside from the lay days.
Right, just the haul out, not the lay days. You know, where it takes people and, you know, scheduling and, you know, replace the straps on the heavy lift every year. You know, we know what that costs in the thousands of dollars. You divide that by the number of boats that we haul, you kind of get, okay, it's 20,000, you know, sort of thing. You add up all the costs, we're losing about $250 a boat.
I always thought our rate should be driven by what it costs to operate the facility as opposed to other factors.
So that's one example of stuff that we'll be bringing back to you in the coming weeks. You know, some ideas.
Okay. So the employee pay survey and some of the, there was various documents that were provided out, and the last one was back in September or someplace, well, September 9th, where there had been some various adjustments made between what was originally proposed by the raw survey And what this last proposal that you provided us with, I see some changes. Some in some instances there was no changes at all. In other positions there was considerable reduction. And then reviewing back what Ross said in his original survey, you know, that basically it was kind of his original survey was an opening for discussions as to you know, how that should be dealt with. I was just wondering if we should, before that's just automatically implemented into the budget, that perhaps maybe we should spend a little more time on it, or maybe one-on-one with you guys or something, because I'd like to understand where you came from with some of these salary or hourly rate adjustments that you come up with on that spreadsheet that you provided.
Yeah. Isn't that just part of you looking at what's going on with the job and how long they've been here and?
Well, you know, the big thing, again, the Law Survey surveyed the top tier of every position. We've got a lot of new people.
Right.
And it takes somebody at least 4 years to go from the bottom to the top if they're doing a great job. Mm-hmm. That's how we've structured it. So if people are only in here 6 months or a year, they're going to be at the bottom of that scale versus the top. If you take our maintenance manager, he's been here 23 years, he's going to get that top pay. So make an entrance of customer service rep. I've got customer service reps that have been here 7 years and 6 months. So they're obviously going to be different.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're coming from. But I'd be happy to sit with you and talk.
Yeah. Well, I kind of went through and some of the new positions you're talking about. I see where there's a pretty significant increase with several, and so I didn't quite understand what, you know.
And keep in mind, the Ross survey, you know, Ross admitted that, we keep calling it the Ross, that's his first name, Audrey is the Audrey survey, but even he said, you know, there's a plus or minus 5% margin of error. You know, when you're mm-hmm. trying to compare, we're really a unique, nobody else has a yard like us, for instance. And when you compare us to other ports and even the city and the county, which you use for some of the comparisons for like maintenance and clerical and everything, and accounting and stuff, there's still nuances. So there's a margin of error in there. But you know, we can go through and, you know, show you what our rationale and process was to come up with them. You know, another thing keeps, you know, like I just did Pete Parrish's annual review, and give him a pay raise. So you got the CPI that we normally give everybody, but then at the same time, while we're discussing this, we're still moving forward with annual reviews and pay raises based on merit, which is different from what was in the survey. So everything's moving here.
Well, another question I had along those lines is there's, what is it, three contract employees, right? That's you three just with the port, and as far as having contract, employment contract.
We're full-time FTE.
Well, of course, but you have an employment contract.
We're not a contract. We're not, like Harold is a contract employee right now.
Yes, but you have an employment contract,
yeah.
Whereas the rest of the port employees don't. I mean, there's a union agreement,
yeah,
of course,
have a union.
You know, and so on, and then the folks that work in the office, and what I'm getting at is to have it all lumped together and change. In this case, we're talking about changing. I mean, I don't know, the union contract accommodates, it has a range for different positions, of course, that you can work within.
Those are negotiated.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But the range is, you know, so just like this roster right here falls within the range somehow,
yeah,
to some degree, and to me that seems like that's something separate from an employee that has an actual contract with the port for performing work and so on. I'm not saying it's, one needs to be totally separate from the other, but in this case, since it's a negotiated contract between the port and the employee, it seems like that's a little bit of a different animal than it is with the other employees.
Okay.
and perhaps we talk some more about that.
Yep. Okay. Anything? Did we want to review some of the other aspects of the bid out there?
The other piece that I put together shows about rate increases. If we were to do, that includes the CPI, the CPI is already included in the budget. And then this shows a scenario of a 1% increase rates and a 2% increase rates and on up to 5%. So you can see, and at the bottom, I summarized it so you could see the total revenue you get.
So this is akin to what Pete was talking about last time with his RC club, that you just put 5% in and you end up with a bunch of money at the end, right?
I'm sorry.
This is akin to what Pete was talking about last meeting, that his RC radio control airplane club had a 5% kitty they put money into and they now have a lot. So that's what this is, 5% on every rate that we have.
Actually, we only did these five rates that are listed, the mortgage, monthly guests, and then the hoists, the yard revenue, and the shipyard revenue. So we didn't do every revenue. And it was just, they're just our largest dollar revenue. Just to give everybody an idea of what it would mean if we did a 2% increase on top of, let's say, the 2% CPI. So that would only give us a total of $94,000 for the year.
This isn't savings, is it?
What's that?
This isn't savings, this is just a rate increase.
Yeah, right. It's just a rate increase.
Mm-hmm. $94,000 is the sum of all five of those revenue sources. Mm-hmm. With just a 2% rate increase.
What did you say? That 94,000 is the sum of?
Yeah, so down at the bottom, the total incremental revenue increases. So if we were to do CPI only, then the increase would be 46,000 for the year. So that's what we currently have. And then if we were to do the CPI plus 1% rate increase, that would increase revenues by 70,000. And maybe I gave you too much information, but it just delineates it by revenue type, and then each of the increases if we were to do two more.
So why doesn't this include the other profit centers? Why just these five? As far as looking at...
The only other profit center is leases, which were under contract, most of them long term. They all have a CPI increase. But keep in mind, we generate $500,000 in lease revenue. 2% is $10,000. So you could add 10,000 to this, but that's really the only other increase we could generate. We've already generated the boat ramp increase for 45-70, and that's included in the budget. So there really are no other revenue sources except we could do transient mortgage or work at the top of the transient mortgage.
What about the airport?
They're all in the top. They're all in the long-term leases. All those hangars get a 2% increase, and that's all they can do. Yeah.
Abby, I'm trying to understand your columns here on the 2016 budget.
Yeah,
and what I'm looking for is, can you give me, so you've got the revenue types, I'm cool with that, the five revenue types. Mm-hmm. Can you give me the expenses that are associated with those revenue types from like a 2015 budget expense, what we're anticipating for that expense this year? So I can say to myself, okay, like in the first, this first column here, 2015 budget, we've got a $2,564,000 revenue. And what am I putting against that from an expense standpoint? Just to see.
So you'd have to look, because these aren't like all of the yards or all of the marriages.
Right.
Revenues.
Right.
Go against the consult, whatever the marriage expenses are here.
Right.
So, for instance, so the, so let's say the 1% increase.
Gotcha, yep.
So it's
23.98. $2,398,000, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that plus the 46 is the 70. And so then you just take like 11, 21 is 32. So up that 70, 32 would be the mortgage. And then.
Oh, you lost me there.
Yeah, well.
Way lost me.
Okay, so. when you're looking at the types here, the first
right.
one's mortgage and the rest are yard.
Right.
So the first one's easy to just take out mortgage, the 21,000, which is the 2% CPI, and 11,000, which is the 1% increase.
Mm-hmm.
So those together are 32,000. So
gotcha.
Down at the bottom, where it says CPI plus 1% increase, you have 70,000. 32
mm-hmm.
of that would be mortgage.
Right.
And so the balance is about 38. So that would go against all of the yards or mortgages.
As far as expenses,
yeah, you can't.
It's a little more complicated because if you look at this sheet, this is Boathaven Mortgage. And you go up here where it says $1,175,000 for permanent mortgage
right.
and monthly guest. Well, if you look at permanent mortgage, it's $1,080,000. And then go down to monthly guests, five down, it's another 95,000. Add those two together, and it's the 175 you see on here. But this shows all the expenses against Boathaven Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all the expenses are all the expenses, you know, salaries, wages, you know, which are scattered not just on permanent mortgage and monthly guests. There's other, you know,
right.
guest mortgage. And
well, I guess what I'm trying to get at is how do you make a decision between 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5% rate increase without knowing what your expenses? I can't qualify if I'm going to go from 100,000 to 110,000 in revenue. I want to know that my expenses. I'm trying to cover $110,000 of expenses to. Say, okay, I need to go up a little bit to cover my expenses. And then I'm just wondering how.
We can develop that spreadsheet for you.
Okay.
Let us work on that and we'll get all of you a spreadsheet
sure.
that shows the differential of what that means to each of the expenses.
Just trying to get an apple to an apple.
Part of the effort here was just to show, since we're given the guidance of doing a CPI, how many dollars is that equal to?
Right, right.
Yep. You know, across the major revenue sources.
Gotcha. Okay.
So does the top line item include Point Hudson or any aspects of the Point Hudson revenue?
No.
No.
I mean, I understand, you know, about transient mortgage and so on, but there's a lot of other revenue streams that come from Point Hudson aside from leases. Shouldn't that be included?
It would be the RV, you know, again, all the tenants down there on formal leases.
Well, yeah. We do have permanent mortgage.
Yeah.
We didn't include the permanent mortgage. It would be very small, but we should do that for you. You're right.
I think this is really good, having this sheet is excellent in terms of you get a clear picture right away of what the different rates do. So I think that's awesome. It would just be helpful to have a little bit of the expense side seeing. Say, oh, well,
I think the teaching point is here, even with all the other revenue sources, it's still not going to be, you know, the salvation of, you know,
right.
you're not going to suddenly have an extra $1 million.
Right. Right.
You're going to have an extra maybe $60,000.
Right. Slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, the state retirement system ate up 20 some thousand of that, and, you know,
right.
other insurance costs go up and all the other things in the world.
So for the environmental allocation, I mean, shouldn't the airport be included in that?
Well, and I talked about that yesterday too, because Al does a little bit of, not a whole lot of time, but you know, cool scene and things like that.
You have a stormwater permit for the airport, and you're going to have to do some monitoring.
Yeah, the number of hours he puts in, you know, we're probably talking single-digit percentage here, like 1%, 1.5%.
Yeah, when I was looking at the percentages, a lot of them are pretty low. And
okay.
I mean, because in the end, I mean, it all is just the port. You know, I mean, we're trying to do for managerial purposes to show the separation, but in the end, it's all the port all as one together, so.
Like 10% is probably high for Point Hudson. You know, we could almost do like maybe 7% Point Hudson and 3% other.
Well, just I kind of thinking along the lines of, you know, how A&G is allocated with particular, it's just about revenue. Mm. And it's like and I know that's not the same thing as the environmental issue, but it's like, is revenue based, is that really an accurate way to, you know, to apply A&G expenses to each one of the, you know, each one of the cost centers, you know?
It's not uncommon. I mean, it's pretty typical.
We were doing it differently before when they were, you know, Jim and Larry were doing all their costs per department, and that ended up being pretty time consuming, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are there any other ways of doing it? I mean, the way that we were doing it, which we decided not to do, and then the way this is.
Right, like my time, even in the old days, I keep track that. You know, okay, last Thursday I had to go out to the airport to find a wayward pilot and didn't close his flight plan, and I spent 2 hours and I put that down towards the airport. And I don't do that anymore. I just put down executive, which is all of that stuff, and then commission, which are, you know, commission meetings and prep time for the commission meetings. It's those two items now. It's,
I'm just not sure it's worth the administrative time.
Yeah, you end up spending more time filling out the timesheet than you spent doing whatever the action was.
And it's not required. It's not something that's required of us in like a city or a county where you must have separate departments, and you know, you can't, you know, mix funds without a loan or, you know, different things like that. You know, that's not what courts are. So, I mean, I can understand doing some of it for, like I said, for managerial purposes, to kind of get an idea of, you know, what's supporting what, but, you know, like doing a cost study or, you know, doing some kind of, you know, counting how many checks we write, you know, which department, and counting, you know, the contracts that go to each department. I mean, that's the level of detail that some entities do because they're required to. But for our purposes, it just seems like more work.
So you like the base, just using the revenue base to allocate A&G?
I think, yeah, it's just straightforward. It's pretty.
Do you, Brad? Do you mind it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I'm not necessarily against it. I just, you know, you look at the revenue numbers, and so the biggest lion's share of course, the A&G is going to be allocated to like the mortgage and the yard,
right.
You know, and you know, it's like how realistic is that? No, that was just my question.
Well, I think as long as we understand, you know, what the variables are and what we're really looking at is realizing it's not, you know, down to the nitty gritty. We can understand it and take it for what it is. Since we don't have to do it, like you said, in municipalities where they have to keep everything siloed and separate, I think it would just be a good cost savings to just leave it like this and understand where the numbers came from.
Yeah.
In those two areas, probably where the biggest activity as far as number of man hours applied against it over time. Especially when it comes overtime. But this is the first draft. Doesn't change times as we add to it and get more information.
So any cost savings, since I know I asked about that a couple of times before, has there been any
we talked about it when we went over these numbers yesterday. I can't sit here and recommend cutting staff. unless we're ready to really severely cut the level of services. We could cut all travel out and save $10,000. There's some legal, perhaps we could save. In fact, I was going to look into that, and, you know, that's such a, yeah, we spent a lot on legal here this past year, you know, with the Smith Clowney and things like that, and that's going away this year, where Al and I don't have to report anymore. You know, it's all subject to change based on, you never know, or some trip and fall lawsuit you got to defend yourself against or something. But I would like to think 2016 would be a kind of a slower, weaker year. But probably need to go through all of, you know, see what we spend on that. But again, we're not talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know.
Well, in the past, we had a bunch of legal issues percolating underneath the surface, like the Caicos and the city and stuff like that. We don't have anything really percolating here.
Right. The Gatai used up a lot of money during his time.
Yeah, salaries, wages, payroll is definitely the largest. Utilities is huge. You can't really cut back on utilities unless you go solar. But that would take an investment, capital investment, in solar and all the cuts of our contracted services, repair, maintenance, supplies, that kind of waivers. Like, if you look at the consolidated year to date in June, which is nice, halfway point, it's 78,000. Budgeted, so we continued a large budget for it, but will we spend it all? I don't know.
The one area, and Jim, you mentioned it today, is cleaning our restaurants. It's contracted out to schools. Before, we used to have an employee that did that, a full-time employee. And
is it cheaper with the employee?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Again, not to the tune of $100,000, but yeah. Might say $10,000, $12,000.
Is that in Bodeman? Where is that listed?
It's in G.
Yeah. In G.
Okay. Good services
everywhere. $70,000, $68,000 we pay for all the facilities.
But it's more than the restrooms, you know, they clean, other structures too. You know, they clean this room and,
So Abby, why the, you think our utilities are gonna stay flat? Is that optimistic, or what are you doing there?
They'll stay flat?
I think the water is gonna drastically increase here.
Well, you've got 2015 budget of 2015 to 2016 mm-hmm. in your budgets, this paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the different cost centers here, I'm just seeing that you basically have said 15 and 16 are gonna be flat, the same, which is great, but.
Well, and you know, it's hard to say. I mean, year to date, we're at like 192, which is way less than half of 561.
Right.
But we had a mild winter, and a whole nice summer, so, you know, it's some of it's kind of hard to predict. I know what you said about the water. That definitely could be going out for us.
We might want to call the city. If I keep hearing rumbling, they have this new filter system they're being forced to put in
mm-hmm.
for their water system. That's hugely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard it through the grapevine kind of thing that there's going to be a significant increase to the utility rate to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's significant, I don't know,
yeah.
5%, 10%.
But that includes trash, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And trash is $275,000 from one of the last analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to take trash from there. And there's a truck at the dump site today, just unloading the entire pickup truck in our dumpster. Now, it's a marine trade, but he should be having his own dumpster. It's ridiculous. We're paying for all of that construction of a boat.
Well, what's it going to take to enforce that?
I think we can enforce it pretty easily now that the dumpster is right behind the mortgage or the yard office. Before, we couldn't. But I think if we put the gate up, lock it up, and monitor that, I think we could. But we need a policy, because right now we don't have that policy that says, hey, you can't be dumping.
Well, I thought there was in the haul-out agreement that if you're going to generate more, I thought it's some language in there where you're going to generate more in a can per, I don't remember, like a week or 5 days or something like that, you're supposed to bring in your own garbage service. Pretty sure it's in there.
What do you think of that, John, as far as garb, tailgate, maybe not tailgaters, but?
Well, I think that there's a large enough project that the court should not be paying for that boat owner, and should be done through boat owner. The problem will be how that's done. Do we, you know, get the garbage people to bring down a whole bunch of, you know, small dumpsters?
Yeah.
Or, and then they're taking up space, obviously, or what, I don't know. To me, that would make logical sense, but.
Maybe we manage the dumpsters, but they get billed by the garbage company. So like a boat, oh, you know, we say, okay, you're going to need to rent this dumpster, and you're going to pay Murray to do that. But here's the dumpster, we just happen to have it here at the yard office.
Well, I don't, I think.
I think dumpsters are around here.
I think it's going to have to be enforced that, you know, we, if we have a large enough job, which one doesn't always know when you start. I think it's perfectly reasonable to say that we should be taking care of that waste on either on our own or through Murray's, but at the expense of the project.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, like, I'm not coming down on Martin, but I remember he tore up, he just turned and dumped it in the big gray dumpster as he tore the boat apart.
You know, I was under the impression, like you were, that if you have a big project, that you get your own dumpster to put it in. So has that not been happening?
It hasn't been. And we can do that, but we need the political support when we go after these people. Because they'll hear about it and we'll hear about it.
Well, I think you'll have that support.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, it will be a big change. I mean, it will ripple through, and staff will be taking a lot of heat for it, you know, like the yard guys.
Why wouldn't we have an MT, bring it up at a, like an MTA meeting?
Well, I certainly will put it into the report and emphasize it in the report.
Right.
And I believe what Brad said is correct. I remember too, reading the haul-out papers, there's language.
There's language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it should, but it's never been enforced. Only the bigger yards of, you know, bigger tenants have garbage disposal, and that many times isn't even adequate.
Yeah, we've even caught some of the larger tenants.
Yeah.
Whether their dumpsters are overflowing and they're bringing the overflow to us or what.
Well, and then with the new 20-yard dumpster undercover there, I mean, I think a lot of non-trades people and non-boat people are now bringing garbage down again like they used to do in the other areas. It's kind of, well, other, it looked to me like it kind of backed off, but I noticed that there's doors and windows and,
yeah,
you know,
it's not related.
Yeah. I walked by the other day and there was like I counted 10 fluorescent light fixtures laying in there. It's like, oh yeah, that came from here.
I agree. I was waiting for that to happen. That was just an invitation.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a gate with a keypad, like, or something along the lines did for the other dumpsters, is that in order?
Well, we would like to lock that big dumpster up when we leave at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So a padlock.
No, okay, keypad.
With keypads, somebody's going to give the number out, and then everybody has it.
So you want unanimous, can we do a unanimous vote on that tonight?
We all.
We don't need it. If you're going to be right back there, they heard you.
Yeah.
You're going to take some heat, and we're going to take some heat, and that's fine.
It's not guarding that bill thing. I came the other day, I was quite angry. I watched a vehicle come into the shipyard back there in the back corner. And a fellow pulled up behind a van that had an occupant in it. I was watching, knew exactly what was going to happen. Stopped his car, opened his back door, took a bucket of liquid, dumped it in the weeds, put it back in his car right in the middle of the day, and drove away. And I couldn't get down off scaffolding enough to get his driver or his license. But we did clean it up right away that day. You know, it was diesel mixed with other things. Wow.
You're kidding. And where was that at?
Back in the shipyard, right in the back corner near the...
Like where the Western Flyer was sitting first down?
Near there. Now where the Tango was sitting.
It's fairly, it's more common than you know, especially when...
With the wetlands back there.
So just from the standpoint of garbage, everything else, I mean, there's just still this continuing issue of environmental issues that are happening in the port that are going to, there be habits that are difficult to break.
Just like that day, midday, I'm walking down along the line of, towards the yard office, and this guy comes out between the yard office and the fence. He had a boat right there along the fence. Walked over to the riprap on the marina, half a gallon of paint, and just poured it onto the rocks and walked back. And I yelled at him and thought, oh, you know, it's not going to hurt anything. Happens all the time.
So how is this going to be adjusted? We're going to get the policy out that has this delineated out, that if you have a project that requires more garbage than a certain amount, you got to get your own dumpster.
Let's review the language that we already have, if it's adequate, that we're just going to bring the hammer down on it.
I think we have a unanimous.
If not, it's already with my authority to tweak the language if it needs to be a little bit stronger or something.
So what kind of cost savings could those generate? Does anybody have an idea? If we actually start locking it up? I mean, are we having that thing come and get hauled twice a week, twice a day?
We call for service when it's full. You could probably save us $30,000-$40,000 on that. There is a fallacy out there that by locking the environmental centers, it saved us money. And it may have saved us a little money. But in the environmental centers, they're on a schedule. And I pay the same amount for a dumpster, whether there's one paper bag in there or it's overflowing. So we don't have the overflow issues, but we're still being charged a lot of money for empty dumpsters.
Well, how can that's not handled the same way as the big dumpster then?
We just don't have the manpower to monitor every dumpster and call for service whenever it's needed, because they're on a schedule for those small dumpsters. And if we miss a cycle, we'll wait another week.
Can we put smaller dumpsters in the environmental centers?
We can. What they're trying to do now, I put TJ in charge of it, is monitor in summer and winter. So in summer, we put two small ones in, we take one out. But it's an issue. Garbage management.
Cool. So we'll review the legal in some other areas and give you a list and box the costs.
And that's mixed in with utilities?
Okay, so is there anything else on the budget introduction before I go home and curl up with these new documents tonight?
Yeah, if you have any questions, you know, give us a call and I'll buy them. Or any other ideas.
Thank you for presenting the draft budget.
Do we have your approval to post this on the website? That's one thing we needed from you all. Are you ready to post this for the public?
Well, since I just got it tonight, I haven't looked at it yet. I guess. Is there anything?
We normally do that, but I just find
it. We'll highlight it. It's just the first
right.
One. You know, there will be changes.
Okay. All right, so we'll move on to potential immediate action items, stormwater vault cleaning.
Well, as you're aware, Phoenix Environmental was here 4 weeks ago, was not able to finish the job. They have been extremely busy, as is everybody else that I called. This is the time of year when stormwater cleaning is being done. They have given us a new quote for what it would cost, they believe, to finish the project. 3 days, so $35,000. We have the original bids from all the other four, and I called two additional vendors. One decided not to bid, and one didn't return my call. So my recommendation is we call Phoenix to come back and clean the rest out for $35,000. So they are they have an opening next week, the 28th, to mobilize. If we don't move then, it could be another month before they'll be able to come back. So that's why they're going to potentially be in action.
So they could come on the 28th and finish the job in 3 days. They'd have 3 days to do it. Well, so that means that if we want to do it, we have to have a unanimous commission approval. So is this something we want to vote on tonight?
I do.
And well, let's have a little bit of dialogue about what we're getting in here, to, you know, what's expensive so far and what we're looking at. I asked for a total cost to date for their first attempt at cleaning out the system. And I just was just provided with this document. And the original bid was $28,300. And then there was a change order for something that I wasn't aware of that's another $10,000. So to date, the port has paid $38,300. And I was talking with Larry Ozzie, who said he was managing the project. He said that 29 out of 60 catch basins had been cleaned out when they were here last, and that 2 out of 4 vaults were clean. So that leaves 31 catch basins and 2 more vaults to remove material from. So total cost, if there's not another change order, so with what Phoenix is proposing, $35,600, so that's going to push this up to nearly $74,000, way more than the original bids. I'd just like to hear why that is.
Did you agree that?
We explained that last time, that the engineer estimate was way off.
And we said we're going to pump 90,000 gallons of water. They pumped 140,000 gallons of water. We said it's going to be a total of 50 cubic yards of sludge. They pumped 70 cubic yards of sludge. And we estimated what was in the ground, and we were wrong. So now we've got to go back and get all of that.
Okay.
Or we don't.
Now, everybody, Larry Ozzie, Al, and myself, have decided we're not going to pump vault 4 because we just pumped vault 4 when we put it in the stormwater access system. So it was just pumped a year and a half ago.
Hmm.
So that's going to be off the list. A lot of the other catch basins are small, so when you say only 19 have been done, the big ones have been done, the small ones, the little, 20-gallon ones haven't been done. So those are really good.
Okay.
But the good thing about calling Phoenix back is they were boots on the ground. They understand our system. Mm-hmm. They know what we have. They know what it's going to take to finish. When I called Thermal Fluids, they said, well, we don't even know what to bid because we have no idea what your system looks like.
And Phoenix already has all contacts with the city.
Well, we can wait till next year if you want to do it. I mean, there's nothing.
We're not being forced to do this. This was our own idea. It's not part of our level 3 response.
But doing this will allow us to determine that how efficient and our new all the money that we put into the stormwater and biochar and redoing the sand filters has become, right?
It'll help with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, even though it's not part of our level 3 responses, I was talking to Larry Ozzie down there about this and indicating that the Reed Middleton Stormwater Design Original Operation Maintenance Manual recommended a regular cleaning of this system. And it sounds like it's been many, many years since a partial cleaning was done at one time, but not a complete cleaning like this has been.
So and the change order wouldn't happen regardless of the contractor. I mean,
oh yeah, because with
the engineering,
the extra volume, then that had to be paid for.
Right.
And just to be clear, we didn't do that estimate. That was Reed Middleton, correct?
Middleton and Mandelbo. What they didn't account for is all the pipes. They did all the catch basins, but when you realize there's 2 miles of pipes underground that are full, that's a lot of volume.
And the system is so flat. You know, there's a lot of water in the pipes all the time. So. It was not a lot of large incline.
And so now you said that this go around to be how much?
$35,000.
That's what they quoted us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we wait till next year, we're really not getting the restart that we want.
I don't think we can wait.
It's got to be top of an Indian summer, we might get a couple of nice weeks here.
Did you vote to move it to?
We started that and then we had discussion. So now we need to determine if we want to go ahead and have a unanimous decision to go ahead and vote on this tonight.
I don't see we have a choice.
Okay, then I say that we.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, all in favor of doing the stormwater vault cleaning? Aye.
Aye.
That's it. Okay.
And the tests are all good on what we're hauling out of there.
And I've got to say, the city has been really good to taking all of the water. They're putting it right in their sewer system, the city's down here, and they've been very, very helpful in this project.
Or they'd increase costs since they took more volume, it's a charge.
Okay, so now we're going on to staff comments.
Abigail?
Well, aside from the budget, we've got the new credit card machines installed just about everywhere. We're still waiting on one more for the yard, so we'll be two there. It's two at the yard, two at Orange, two at St. Hudson, and different type now. We'll see how that went through successfully.
So these take the new chip?
So where do we have credit card machines? One in the Morridge office, one at Point Hudson?
Two at Morridge, two at Point Hudson, mm-hmm. Two at the yard, and then one at Quilting, but it's a dial-up, it's not through the internet.
And so the ones at Point Hudson, we're still working on getting the optical down there, correct?
Well, that's supposed to start this
tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's supposed to start tomorrow?
Okay.
Project.
So that didn't need to be service. That didn't need to be done for this new credit card thing. It's still on.
No. Sue? I don't want to talk about any of the conferences. If any, remind everybody to sign up.
Well, small ports, I have Steve and Pete signed up, and the annual conference just came out, and so far Steve is committed.
That, did Al, was Al able to attend the environmental conference?
No, I talked to him and told him he was free to go, but he had something with his wife out of town or something.
Oh, so this is the first environmental conference we've missed as a board.
When is it?
The environmental conference?
Huh? The environmental conference.
That's
right now.
Tonight.
It's starting tonight. Yeah, it started tonight. I have to go to a forum tomorrow, otherwise it would have gone. But
just the usual NODC tomorrow afternoon over at John Wayne Marina and Squim, and J-Prep on Friday, 10 to 12. Should be interesting. They're doing, you know, everybody's getting prepared for the statewide Cascadia, you know, the big event. And so we're getting an update on that. And not sure what our role will be. But, actually, that's going to be in 2016, but this is all preparatory for the one if you get plates slipping and the big tidal wave and everybody dies scenario. That's it.
That happens next year.
Yeah.
The big event.
Well, I'll give you 24 hours. Just check it. And it actually could get overdue for the event.
I want to get the boats out of the marina before it happens.
Okay, public comments. Big O?
A couple of things. One, I could well be wrong. Abigail, thank you for the data. Being critical of what's put in there, those numbers. But as I look at it, if you look at page 4 or 5, it shows capital contributions non-operating $339,000. We all know that's for the rent, but there's no expense line for that. So if you go to the next page and you suck out of the net operating income on positive side, you suck out $339,000, that leaves you a negative $245,000. Gentlemen, it's not sustainable. You can't go on running, it's in the hole. Last year, the budget we had, we were $147,000. And looking at the budget here, it shows it was $172,000. If you go back to page 4 or 5, it shows a $25,000 FAA grant. Suck that out of there, and it's $147,000. I think you need a lot of hard looking at how you're going to manage these expenses and revenues. Because what you're looking at, second year in a row, it's not sustainable. And a lot of, you're the accountant here, and having, you know, you have some ideas, I don't know. I just look at it and say, it's not sustainable. Can't go on.
Point two.
There was a letter to the editor today that I'm very disappointed. I think it's unconscionable that a court employee drafts a letter touting what the court has done. If you look at the flip side that wasn't mentioned, we've gone for over 15 years without a capital projects plan in total, and there hasn't been a maintenance plan on the facilities. So you hire an engineer, and I bought that, I believe it. And he's identified well over $20 million worth of project maintenance to maintain the buildings, grounds, whatever. And so if I write a letter to the editor, it's nasty to put forth. It might come to one of you for a rebuttal. There's no rebuttal now. I think that's unconscionable. In this political season, a lot of nasty words going around. Some of the stuff has come out of here, and I've been guilty. See, that one meeting we had with you, I was embarrassed. I beat you up. I should have done it. But there's been a lot of stuff coming out of here that's unconscionable. And the last one, they gave something to a reporter for the Mensa Daily News. And I think that's really sad. We ought to keep our own dirty laundry here. That's it.
I have a comment to that video. And that is that these are public meetings, these are minutes, and if I'm correct, that letter was a rebuttal to your words that were said here. Is that correct? It's a question. You made the comment that the port is falling apart. And you've said that more often than once.
I don't know if I've said it.
Well, pretty close. And that rebuttal is in fact to those words. And I think coming back at you, we all need to be careful with how we characterize what's going on around here and what we're trying to get done. So I understand your tone against the letter, but I think also it's not like everybody's sitting on their hands around here doing nothing. And it's not like we haven't, you know, acquired a facility that was built 50, 60, 80 years ago. And we're still working at trying to get ahead of it and keep it standing, basically, on limited revenues. So, you know, apart from firing all the staff and selling that building, there's not a lot more. I mean, we're doing the best we can to get ahead of what we're trying to rebuild here. Granted?
You've made progress.
Yeah.
You know, you've made progress, and I'm pleased with the progress that's being made.
Right.
But when that letter to the editor said that we have done maintenance, a lot of that stuff, there has been for 15 years no maintenance plan on the facilities.
So we have done maintenance. We have Point Hudson has new docks. We have A and B docks. I mean, it's not like nothing is happening around here.
I would say you haven't done some maintenance. But last year in Larry Onzi's budget for maintenance, there was $100,000, and that's 2014, there was $100,000 that didn't get spent. I don't have the solutions. And if I were sitting in your chair, I wouldn't help them to do either.
Right.
But that letter to the editor really inflamed. It really did. Because it only gives a part of it. And so someone that doesn't
that never comes here thinks, oh, then these guys are full of BS.
Yeah, well, to be fair, the maintenance, the letter to the editor didn't indicate that we had a maintenance plan. It just said that we've actually been doing some maintenance. I think that in the forums, we've been discussing the maintenance plan that's beginning to start right now. So I think people understand that it hasn't.
Yeah. We know what the hell we're doing with maintenance. Yeah.
Okay, Ron.
Yeah, I just, I wonder if we could clear up, you know, some of the questions about, you know, cash flow and income statements and all this. If we took the port budget and summarized it in one schedule, and the top half would be all the operating cost centers and showing revenue, operating expense, allocation of G&A, depreciation, etc. And then on the bottom, it would show cash flow, because that really confuses people, because they're saying, like Vigo's saying, hey, you're showing grant income in the income statement. Where's the expense going under? And it's not really clear what's happening. But if you had a breakout of a cash flow statement, which you would start off with beginning cash balance, 12/31/2015, and then you add to it your net income to the operations, you'd subtract from it the capital expenditures. You would then add the depreciation back. You'd come down to what the net change in cash for the year is, and then that you'd add that to the beginning cash balance. Here's your cash balance at the end. And I think it'd be a lot easier for people to see. And because I'm not as knowledgeable as you guys are on this stuff, I look at it, and it's hard for me to read this thing because there's so many numbers. I mean, I like the format and everything. I like the fact that you guys added year-to-date 2015 in here, so you can see where you're taking stock of what the actual numbers are this year. You're not ignoring it. I really like it, but for me as an individual, it's hard for me to get my hands around it because there's so many pages. And so what I do instead of reading this thing is I put it into a schedule. And not that this is the right schedule, but it forces me to look at every page. And I put in the operating revenues for all the departments, the operating expenses. And when I get done, I can really see what's going on. And I could give you guys just a proposal. I feel a little bit hesitant because I really should submit it through Abigail first before it goes to you. But you could have a one-page summary. And I think Vigo and other people would appreciate it, being able to look at the whole port budget. Because you need these schedules. You can't do a budget without analyzing expenses and salaries and benefits and utilities. You got to go to this kind of detail. The problem is for someone like me or Vigo, the rest of us, it's difficult for us to read all this stuff. We trust Abigail that she's putting this stuff together and it's right. And you guys are asking the questions, you know, can we cut this or cut that? But when you get done, it would be nice to have one schedule My question is, I brought extra copies of this. If anybody would like to see one of these, I'll be glad to give it to you. Otherwise, I'll just shut up.
Yeah, actually, I've seen that schedule, and I really like it. And I think it would be useful for everyone to just take a look at how easy it is to read it.
But anyhow, I should have, if I had time to share it with Abigail, I'd feel more comfortable doing this. But anyhow. And what this is the 2015 budget. Okay, just a second, let me make sure. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't bring it up. But this is the 2015 budget. on the left-hand part of the schedule, I showed the page number where I got the numbers out of this year's budget and put the stuff in, because what I'm trying to see is, you know, what is the true P&L and what is the cash flow? Now, Vigo was mentioning that we're showing cash flow going down by $147,000. You can't find that in the P&L because it's not done. You haven't done the cash part of it. And so, to me, doing it this way, or not necessarily doing it this way, doing it similarly like this, in a format that you guys feel comfortable with, I think you'd appreciate it, because you'd see down here at the bottom, here's the cash that we're gonna have at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, and here's the profit loss by cost center. And the one thing I put in here that's been available is the interest expense. And right now we take interest expense and we dump it down in other. And to me, you know, if this is an operating budget, not financial statements, but if it's an operating budget, we should put the interest expense up on each profit center or cost center that generated that interest expense, because that tells you what the true net income was of that profit center. And it's really important, you know, that we know this, because you don't want to make an assumption that one profit center is making money when it really isn't. When you subtract the interest expense, it's losing money. And so that's good information to have. And so anyhow, I incorporated it in here, and I'll be glad to talk to anybody about it if they would like.
Thank you, Ron. Let's see. Somewhere here I have it. Any more? Go ahead, George.
Yeah, just one quick one. I like your comment about a profit center / loss center or something like that. There is an assumption that I saw in the strategic plan advisory committee that they referenced value of a particular project or sector based upon a profit. Profit center, and I think what we're finding out now, it's not necessarily a profit center. So if you can find another word for that term, that would clarify that. It could be a profit or a loss center.
An operating center, perhaps.
Yeah, something like that, because that gives the wrong impression, I think. Secondly, there's been two forums now for the Port Commission. And the concern that I have, and please straighten me out, I thought that the boat ramp system has been approved and we are moving on. We've got the permits and we're going to develop this thing. And there seems to be some question of whether this is going to go forward or not. So would you clarify for me, is this project going forward? Is this a done deal? Or are we still in some limbo stage?
No, as far as I know, it's going forward. We've got the guys.
Based on the unanimous commission approval, I signed a contract with a contractor.
So it was a unanimous commission approval to go ahead with the boat contract.
Correct.
Thank you.
Doesn't construction start? When does construction start? Yeah.
Like November 3rd?
That's an interesting date to start.
November 3rd?
Yeah.
Let's not start until November.
Well, they're ordering all their equipment, all their precasting.
Any other public comments? Okay. Commissioner comments?
I have none.
Well, John got me thinking about what he mentioned about that guy dumping some diesel out of the ground and whatnot. Do you have a contractor or somebody local or somebody that you can call on an emergency basis to get out here and do soil remediation in the event?
So
something like that happens.
Pacific Environmental.
I mean, if it was a small enough spill, it was dug up within a few hours and put into a bucket and taken off the maintenance shelves.
It really depends on circumstance.
So I try to keep my eyes open, obviously. Because, you know, I mean, especially in the back corner of the yard.
So if, like, if it's a weekend and it's raining and there's a spill, you know, those are the guys that you can call up. Environmental, if we're aware of it.
They're the only local operation.
But they're pretty good. Pretty responsible.
So you got another DNR boat sitting over in the corner, it looks like, the Tango.
It's really not a DNR boat.
It's not a DNR boat?
It's the insurance company is paying for it.
So it looked like it sank. And
Global is doing it, so.
So they are going to destroy it?
So they're getting their orca permit right now. It's large enough to require an orca permit. It takes 14 days to get that. But our deal is with Global Diving, not with anyone else.
We had another one that sunk down below.
I came in last night. The catalyst was moving at 6:45, and the tally craft went down, 30-foot tally craft went down at 6:45. It was Scott's boat and North Dakota Scott. He was basically Tally's partner for a while. Yeah, beautiful 30-foot tally, but my mom.
And Tim and Malachi did great. They came in after hours and got it hauled out and took care of it.
That's one thing I keep thinking about over, you know, how to cut. One of the things was considered was overtime, and you know, that kind of stuff is so essential, you know. That,
yeah, we can't not haul out a sinking boat. You know, mm-hmm.
So is there a pervious liner underneath this Tango that's going to get destroyed?
It's got the same rubber that the last DNR boat we required. It has a berm around it, but it's...
So it also has a berm around it?
Yeah, it's not a tarp. There will be a berm. I don't know that it's up yet, but before they take clamshell to the boat, it will be bermed all that.
Okay.
So along those... I'm sorry, are you finished?
Yeah, go ahead.
Along those lines, is anything happening on that pad with DNR? Has anything... The last I heard was that it was still active, but just kind of on hold. So is that like on
hold? Right. There's no way it's going to get into the legislature this session with the education funding and all the other issues. And Al and I were talking a couple of days ago that we probably need to set up something with Melissa down at DNR and just keep nudging them. Because they're the ones that are going to have to, you know, submit it to their agency, to the legislature. And we need to lobby. Probably be a good thing for the commissioners to do if they get submitted, is lobby our representatives there in your Vanderwood, Hardwood.
Okay, and I have no comments. So the next meeting will be a public workshop, Wednesday, October the 14th. The workshop will be at 9:30 in the morning, and the meeting will be at 1:00. There's no executive session, so this meeting is adjourned.